BBC Holby City, starring Lauren Drummond as Chantel, Catherine Russell as Serena, Hugh Quarshie as Rick, and Harry Dillon as Michael. Previously.
Someone else can deal with Jeremy, and I'm sorry if I'm letting you down, but my mum and dad didn't bring me up to let people be rude and horrible to me.
Didn't know she had a dinner.
I've got a work placement offer. It's in America.
I am not going to live in a different country to my kids.
With you as professor and head of the transplant center, we would attract the highest caliber of staff and students.
No more nights on a single bed.
Yours is really convenient, but mine's more comfortable.
Eddie finds Luke's campervan gone. Stepping up to the plate by Julia Gilbert.
Oh, for heaven's sake, try pulling the skin taut and tapping the vein lightly.
Sorry.
No need to apologise.
Sorry for saying sorry. Sorry, I don't usually have this problem. I usually do it about 10 times a day. Just a sharp scratch.
Nurse Lane, I suggest we call it a day. I think the poor man's had enough, don't you? Oh, Simon, have you got a minute?
Sure.
Chantel steps away, looking demoralised, as Rick looks on sympathetically.
The covering consultant has been on for over 10 hours already. Yeah, but he's leaving now. Oh, OK. I mean, what would you like me to do, rugby tackle him? Well, will you just tell me, yes or no, is someone coming to cover the night shift? No, I won't hold, actually, no.
Fear, Spence is here.
But you were supposed to be in Florida.
Yeah, well, that was the plan until your boyfriend went AWOL.
This for ages.
Yes, but as clinical lead, I must be prepared to make sacrifices in times of crisis.
Mm-hmm, you just went along with that.
You ever tried to say no to Hanson?
I haven't seen your kids for
9 weeks, 2 days, and 4 hours. And today is Charlie's birthday.
Oh, Mike, I'm sorry.
Ah, well, it's not all bad. I got a refund on the tickets, and, we're just going to celebrate his birthday over the net.
So you're a virtual dad now?
Well, Mr. Hemingway hasn't left me much choice.
Urgent case, bed 3, palpitations, and shortness of breath.
Eddie walks briskly off. In an office near the nurse's station, Chantel's sitting on her own eating sweets when Rick walks in.
Could happen to anyone. Veins aren't always obvious.
They were obvious to Simon. Call a bottle.
She holds out the pink box of sweets and Rick takes one.
Miss Campbell gave me this earlier. Specialist nursing training. She thought I'd be good at it. But she doesn't now.
No one gets it right every time. Not even hardened professionals.
It's like being back at school, getting a place on the netball team and then missing every shot. I was always the last person to be picked.
I've got every faith in you, Chantel. I've even sat in a car and put my life in your hands. Look, if you're serious about making something of your career, then you need to be more confident. Stand up for yourself. Trust in your training. Trust your instincts. You'll get there.
Chantel looks unconvinced. Michael, to Eddie.
Just think. I could be playing pin the tail on the donkey with my son. Instead, I'm giving rectal examinations.
You should have said no.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have Mr. Hemingway's relaxed approach to collective responsibility. And the moral of the story is, never trust a hippie.
Mr. Holdsworth has a history of cardiomyopathy.
Gold Star, Jack. It is why I called you here.
Well, it's like he didn't croak on your watch. Why wasn't he sent straight up to us?
His ED said you had no beds.
And you believe them. It's not like you take your eye off the ball, Nurse McKee. Get him transferred now.
Hey, she's had a lot on her mind. We have staffing issues.
Oh, well, you should call Sasha. He's always a soft touch when you're desperate.
Sasha is looking after Daniel. Some of us have families.
Oh, yes, I forgot. All reliable, hard-working doctors are lone sociopaths like me. Which reminds me, where is Hemingway?
That's what we'd all like to know.
Your wife had a fall?
Yeah, from a ladder. She was putting up curtains in the nursery. Lost her balance.
I'm fine, please, but can someone please check the baby?
Well, they listened to the baby's heartbeat in the ED. There seems to be no cause for concern.
But I landed really heavily.
Any pain or bleeding?
No.
Cramping?
I can't lose her, please, not now.
It's gonna be okay.
Deep breaths, come on. I need you to calm down.
Oh, I think I'm gonna be sick.
It's okay.
This is not unusual. She's had morning sickness all the way through.
It says in the notes that there's some bruising. Did you hit your head?
I can't remember.
Did she lose consciousness at all?
I wasn't there.
I think I might have blacked out.
Well, yeah. Well, I think that we should do an MRI.
No way. I'm not doing anything that might harm my baby.
She's IVF. Sixth attempt. We're a bit paranoid.
Well, a CT scan wouldn't be advisable because of the radiation levels, but an MRI is perfectly safe.
I don't need it, OK? I just had a stupid little fall. I'm fine. My head is fine. I just want to go home.
I'm sure you're right, but I strongly recommend that you stay for observation and have the MRI.
Sarah, please, listen to them. You said yourself it was a bad fall.
Yeah, whose fault was that?
If you stay, it'll give you a chance to rest, calm down a bit, maybe have another think about the scan. In order to keep the baby safe, we need to keep you both fighting fit.
Okay.
Rick gives Chantelle an encouraging look.
In addition to diabetes, smoking and obesity, can anyone tell me what the major risk factor is in the development of coronary heart disease? Am I keeping you, Mr. Davis?
No.
Look, I am aware that you're all anxious about your exam results, but in the meantime, your full concentration would be appreciated. The answer is, of course, cholesterol.
Good. Sorry, I'm late.
No, no, that's fine. I got your note.
Yeah, I had to pick up a son.
Right, OK, sit down. We are looking at the heart's greatest enemy, cholesterol. Right, now, this diagram relates to the metabolism of cholesterol. Would anyone like to connect the pathway? Ms. Alcock.
She steps to the board.
Right. So, as you can see, cholesterol is converted into pregnenolone, then into androstenedione, then into testosterone, and it's finally converted into estrogen, which proves, without a doubt, that women are more evolved than men.
Very good. Thank you. Okay.
Drunken hobo. Great. This day gets better.
Jeff Rydell, he's 46, found drunk in the street, semi-conscious and complaining of severe abdominal pain.
Note.
I'm waiting on St. James's.
Well, it's probably chronic liver disease. Well, let's wait till we get his history. Continue to push IV fluid. Let's do OBS every 15 minutes. Oh. Whiskey, cider, and halitosis. I love this job. You know, Hemingway hasn't called me. When's the last time you spoke to him?
I'll face those notes.
Ignoring his question, Eddie goes to pick up some files and discovers Luke's ID badge lying underneath. She quickly hides it.
Look, I'm not trying to pry or upset anyone here. In fact, I don't give a damn about your relationship. I just need to know if Luke is planning on coming back, because if he's not, my life is going to be hell.
Call HR. I actually don't. Just go. We'll cope.
Really?
Yeah, you could drop dead, Naya. You'd still go on, you know.
You know, I don't like letting people down.
What about your family, Michael? It's all right to let them down, is it?
Chantelle's at the pregnant woman Sarah's bedside.
OK. James has gone to try and find some plain biscuits.
Oh, you should have asked me. I've always got a little stash of goodies in my bag. Not sure coconut snowballs would have done the trick, though.
A glass of water would be nice, though.
Sure.
Sarah looks like she's about to be sick, and Chantelle offers her a bowl.
The sickness was usually over by 12 weeks. She's so unlucky.
It sounds stupid, but every time I throw up, I'm grateful. Never thought I'd make it this far. I'll put up with anything. Just want to keep her safe.
Of course you do.
I'm sorry if I was a bit hysterical earlier. I know all babies are precious, but...
You've had to really fight for this one.
Elliot and his upbeat group of students are making their way down a corridor.
Right, Mr. Davis, thank you. Mr. Davis, a little souvenir. Well done, well done. See you at Albie's. Drinks are on me. Oh, their results are terrific. I'm so proud of them.
I could murder a rum and coke right now. Double shot, crushed ice, lime. Downside of this fat lump.
Ah, they're like my little children, making their first steps towards independence.
Well, they're happy now, but it won't last. Soon they'll be as disillusioned as the rest of us.
Speak for yourself, I couldn't be happier.
That'll be the delusional dementia setting in.
Not even you can burst my bubble today, Jack.
Wait. This came to me by mistake.
Thank you. Well?
My login's not working. Everyone else's was fine.
All right. Well, check the shift key's not locked. I spilled some hot chocolate on the keyboard. It might be a bit dodgy still. There we go.
The screen shows Barbara's failed.
No, that can't be right. I'll find student admins.
Don't bother.
Barbara, what about the valve replacement Mo said you could observe?
There's no point now, is there?
Look, Barbara.
I can't.
You haven't eaten anything in hours. You've got to eat.
I'll just fill this up for you.
Chantelle leaves them alone.
I'm so sorry.
What for?
I shouldn't have snapped at you like that. I don't blame you.
It's fine.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm all over the place.
It doesn't bother me.
It should. Me being like this when you've been so patient and worked so hard to get us here.
I know. I'm a saint.
I'm serious. I appreciate everything. I really do. It just gets lost sometimes.
We're going to be fine, OK? Once we're out on the other side. Anyway, you've always been a moody cow. I'm sort of used to it by now.
Please, can we go home now? I'm feeling much better.
We'll have to speak to Mr. Griffin.
But there's no point.
Shh, hey, it's all right, it's all right.
I'll be back in one sec.
I'll chase those notes.
Chantelle finds Rick at his desk.
Mr. Griffin, I'm worried about Sarah. She's still very nauseous. It just doesn't feel right.
That's why she needs the MRI.
But she won't have it. She's absolutely adamant.
I think that you could persuade her.
Me?
Just explain to her that the dangers of a possible head injury far outweigh any fears that she may have. She's putting the baby at risk by refusing to have it. They trust you.
Hey, Annalise, it's me. I got a surprise for the birthday boy, so get him on the computer, all right? Hey, I'm on the phone to Charlie. Any problems, I'm in my office. Huh? What? What, it's right now? Well, you didn't tell me that. Okay, well, just tell me what time is a good time to call. All right, 6 p.m. your time. Fine, I'll call then. Did he get those dinosaurs I sent? Special delivery? Will you stop? Of course I take an interest. He's a kid. They change their minds all the time. So it's a... Stop trying to guilt trip me, okay? It's ridiculous. I am not losing them. I'll call you later. Okay, bye.
He slumps down at his desk, bursting one of the birthday balloons he'd hung up around the computer screen.
Wait, Jelly, you can see her now.
I'd pick you from my netball team every time.
Oh, there was a message for you from Mr. Hamilton, asking you to call him.
Thanks.
Nothing urgent, but he did ask what time your shift finished.
Ooh, better call him then, hadn't I?
To James.
OK.
I'm sorry we've been so awkward.
Oh, you're bound to be anxious. This is a very precious baby. I understand that.
And that's why Sarah trusts you.
Is she discharging herself?
No, she's going for her MRI.
How on earth did you manage that?
I didn't.
He points to Chantelle. Later, she's with Sarah in the MRI scanner room, while James looks on through the glass.
Just relax and breathe. And we're just through that, so I'll see you when you come out.
Sarah looks anxiously at James as Chantelle joins him.
This is all my fault.
Don't be silly.
I promised Sarah I'd be home by 5 to help put up the curtains.
I didn't mean to be late.
Well, maybe I did. Work can be a bit of a refuge. Sometimes I just want our old life back, just me and Sarah. Maybe that was enough. Have either of you seen Barbara?
Oh, the lecturer, eager student. It's such an embarrassing cliche. I have warned you before.
Don't be ridiculous.
You seem very hot and bothered.
I
It's called professional concern.
Congratulations, Mr. Hope. An excellent set of results. You must be very proud, rightly so.
Thank you, but...
Keep up the good work.
What's your problem? You just got a pat on the back from Darth Vader.
Barbara failed.
Oh. She must have been distracted by her animal magnetism.
Riggs at Sarah's bedside.
Well, you've had your MRI results back.
And?
There's one area that I'm not 100% happy with. But I'm hopeful that it will clear up without intervention.
So we can go now?
I'm afraid not. I've spoken to neurosurgery, and they'd like to keep you in for observation.
Please. I've had enough of hospitals, and if it's nothing serious.
We do need to monitor you, just to make absolutely sure. Nurse Lane, half-hourly neuro-obs, please.
So you'll be here?
Yeah, all night.
Well, look on the bright side. You might get a decent night's sleep without me snoring.
And the obstetrician's on his way down to look at the baby. So we'll both be able to say goodnight.
Chrissy to Michael.
How was Charlie?
Haven't been able to speak to him yet. They too needs an enema.
Please, would be nice.
Please. The junkie in Bay 6, is it Hemingway treated him last week? I can't find his notes. I mean, this guy ever do any paperwork? I mean, maybe that's why Lev couldn't face the backlog. Or he just couldn't face you.
What's your problem?
My problem is that I shouldn't even be here right now.
Look, you should be with your son on his birthday, but you made the choice, Michael, so deal with it.
Mr. Thompson was a star on the breast cancer fun run. He went as Papa Smurf. He wore red leggings and everything.
The micro showed my calf muscles off to perfection. Makeup was a bit of a nightmare, though. I looked blue for weeks. Everybody thought I had hypothermia. Okay, there's the heart beating. Look, all four chambers present and correct. So listen, shall we? Yeah, heart rate is normal. Nice, straight limbs. Growth good for dates. Ah, come on, you. Don't make you still for me, do you? This one's going to be big trouble.
Yeah, like a mother.
There we go, look. The money shot. There's the forehead, there's the nose, top and bottom lip. Looks pretty perfect to me.
Sarah and James smile and Chantelle looks pleased for them.
Michael, I'm sorry Dal's notes came from St. James's.
Better late than never.
Looks like he's not going anywhere soon.
Advanced alcoholic liver disease, multiple admissions over the past year for GI bleeds and liver failure.
He's been taken off the transplant list. He refuses to stop drinking.
Are there any relatives?
A daughter, she's been called.
No wife?
My mother's dead.
I'm very sorry.
Don't be. He wasn't. Maria, right? Marie.
You okay?
He looks... different. You've not seen him for a while, then? 4 years.
Well, alcoholism goes hand in hand with malnutrition and self-neglect. He's very unwell, I'm afraid.
I was told he was dying, that's why I came.
His cirrhosis is permanent and advanced. There's no possibility of reversal.
Well, what does that mean? Today? Tomorrow?
I couldn't say.
You can sit and talk with him if you like. He might be able to hear you. Might not like what I've got to say.
Marie, a dark-haired 19-year-old, stares at her father lying in his hospital bed. Keller Ward's now quiet, and James is sitting at Sarah's bedside.
Better make a move. I'm exhausted. You must be too.
You're going to be okay. That's the main thing.
He gets to his feet and starts putting on his jacket. As he's giving her a goodbye kiss, Chantelle comes over from the nurse's station with a copy of Sarah's ultrasound photo.
Mr. Thompson thought you might like this.
Oh.
Yeah. Yes. Sarah flops back onto her bed, limp.
Sarah.
Simon, get Mr. Griffin now!
What's happening? Sarah! Sarah!
In AAU, Michael glances over at Marie, who's sitting at her father's bedside. Jeff's eyes flicker open, and he reaches out a hand to her, but she picks up her bag and starts walking off.
I
Hey, where are you going?
Shouldn't have come.
Wait.
No point.
He's your father.
So?
So you are the next of kin. He is dying and he needs you to stick around.
I needed him, never cared then.
Wait, listen. He really doesn't have much longer, Marie. So you are going to need to face whatever this is before it is too late.
It already is.
Then why'd you come here?
Flexing to pain.
One fixed pupil. GCS6.
BP 97 systolic, pulse 100.
Here's an emergency CT scan.
What about the wrist of the fetus?
My responsibility is to the mother. I'm prioritising the head injury.
I'll cool down.
Can someone please tell me what's going on?
We need to take another look at Sarah's injury.
I'm not leaving her.
It won't take long.
Sarah, it's going to be fine.
Mr. Harper.
Sarah, it's going to be okay, darling.
Mr. Harper.
James watches helplessly as Sarah's trolley's wheeled off down the corridor. In AAU, Eddie's sitting behind a desk, staring into space. Chrissy walks over and picks up on Eddie's gloomy demeanour.
You all right?
Yeah, why wouldn't I be? I'd like to think we were friends. So if there's anything I can do.
Actually, Chris, there is. Why don't you keep your nose out of my business and get everybody off my back, yeah?
Michael and Chrissy exchange a look.
It's an extradural hematoma. We need to get her into theatre.
I'll call neurosurgery.
Sorry, Mr. Griffin, I couldn't keep her husband on the ward. He's outside.
It's not good news. The area's extended into a bleed, which is putting pressure on the brain. You can see it here.
Oh, extradural hematoma, post-head injury.
Are you going to speak to Mr. Harpen?
I need you to do that.
What?
Tell him Sarah's had a bleed to the brain, which requires immediate surgery. We'll update him as soon as we know more.
Okay.
Now, don't give him any false hope. This could be extremely serious.
Thanks. We'll expect him in 5. Wouldn't it be better if I spoke to him?
She's formed a bond with the family. They trust her. She's perfectly capable.
I hope you're right.
Chantel steps out of the CT room into the corridor, finding it empty and no sign of James. She heads through an empty waiting room and outside the building, looking everywhere for him. Eventually, she finds him around a corner, standing alone. He looks awkward as she approaches him and turns away from her.
Couldn't breathe. Sorry, had to get some air.
I understand.
What, then I'm a coward?
Of course not.
I hate myself sometimes.
Come on, let's get you back inside.
It's bad, isn't it? Otherwise you'd have said something. She's lost the baby, hasn't she?
No, it's not the baby. Sarah's had a bleed in her brain.
She's going to be okay, though.
She needs some surgery to drain it.
But she's going to be all right.
Mr. Griffin will explain.
That's not what I asked.
I can't say any more, I'm afraid.
Well, so you know something, but you're not saying, or you don't know anything, so you're not saying anything.
Mr. Griffin has got all the facts.
Is she going to die? I asked you a simple question.
I'm sure she'll be fine. Come on, let's go back inside.
He walks back into the hospital, with Chantel following behind him. In theatre, a neurosurgeon's operating on Sarah's skull while Rick and Serena assist. Rick checks Sarah's pupils. Then he and Serena exchange a look of deep concern. Then Serena turns away forlornly, and she and Rick walk out. In the consultant's office, Michael's laid out a big takeaway meal on the desk, with supersized buckets of chicken and fizzy drinks.
Come in. Ah, I thought maybe we could do with a little family bonding moment. Unless you would prefer the lecture.
I'm just finishing my shift.
Come on, you guys, look. We've had a rough couple of hours. Things have gotten pretty snappy. I thought maybe we can enjoy a midnight feast.
Well, I'm sorry to be a killjoy, but we've got patients out there that are actually ill and dying and stuff.
Well, in the battle days when I used to work the night shift, things were usually pretty quiet. If there's a problem, they know to find us.
I've got dinner waiting for me at home.
Sash will eat it. He's a double dinner kind of guy. Please. I'm missing my family. Humor me.
Sorry to have to see her in here. I'm still waiting for a bed and intensive care.
Before we go in, I should warn you that Sarah has had serious head surgery, and it may look quite shocking.
There's no rush, James. You can do this in your own time.
No, I'm ready.
Okay.
James steps into theatre, where Sarah's on a ventilator, a large bandage around her skull.
We did everything we could.
I don't understand.
The emergency CT scan revealed that the small area that we saw on the MRI had extended rapidly into a massive bleed.
The neurosurgeon did his best to relieve the pressure on the brain, but...
But she's still breathing.
The machine is breathing for her.
I know this is extremely painful, but... There is no hope. I'm so sorry.
But you said she'd be fine. I don't understand.
You know, I'm tempted to offer you some cake, but Charlie hasn't seen it yet. What about you, Eddie? You tempted to start a family in the not-too-distant future?
I'm not that big on family, thanks.
You might change your mind if you met the right bloke.
Yeah, maybe you already have.
What is this?
Come on, we're all friends.
Come on, you must know something. Is Luke coming back or isn't he? I kind of miss his bizarre charm.
I promise you, it won't go outside this room.
Says Chrissy Williams, the soul of discretion.
Right, that's it. I'm going. I've got a real family to go home to.
That went well.
Not exactly what I had in mind.
Ah, the victim of Elliot's irresistible charms returns.
I can see it, actually.
You joking?
I like a man with a bit of beef. What's wrong with that?
Barbara walks on past them and heads into Elliot's office.
I'm sorry about earlier.
You're here now. That's the main thing.
He carries a chair over for her and places it at his desk.
Thanks.
Barbara, this is not the end of the world. You can retake.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to.
Why not?
When my mum died, I used the money that she left me to train. She always thought I could be a doctor. But, well, I'm married young, had kids. She never said anything, but I knew I'd let her down. I was just trying to make her proud.
And you will.
I was the only one who failed.
I just don't understand it. What happened?
I don't know, when I get an exam, so I freak out. You know, panic, go blank.
We're using her like an incubator.
Yeah, but if we could manage to maintain her for a couple of weeks...
What's the likelihood of that? We'd just be prolonging the grieving process.
Surely the baby deserves a chance.
Chantelle, there's nothing more for you to do here.
Please, I need to speak to him.
I don't think that's a good idea.
But I didn't mean to...
I'm sure you had the best of intentions, but you can't just tell people what they want to hear.
We need him on side with our informed, clinical decisions.
Why don't you get back to Keller?
Oh, Mr. Griffin, please.
They both fix her with uncompromising looks and Chantelle marches off. At A&E reception, Mo's on the phone.
Yeah, Sarah Harpen. Just wondering if there's any news on a donor card. Cheers.
Looking for Mr. Hope.
And you are?
Craig. Alcock. Barbara's husband.
Down the corridor, straight ahead.
Thanks.
Mo and Jack watch him walk off.
Plot thickens. Still eating.
See, my family's really important to me,
yes,
and I feel like I'm letting them down.
No, I absolutely understand.
I thought you'd gone.
Mr. Hope? That's right.
This is Craig, my...
husband.
Look, I'll see you outside, yeah?
I just wanted to help you sort this out.
Yeah, I can handle it, thank you.
Thing is, Barbara always overthinks things, doesn't seem to know what makes her happy,
yeah,
so...
Mr. Hope doesn't need to hear this.
No, it's fine. Really. She's not coping. She called me earlier on in tears. Look, she's given it a go and it's not worked out. There's no shame in that.
Look, I haven't decided anything yet.
Barbara is one of my best students. All she lacks is confidence.
You seem to be taking a very personal interest, if you don't mind me saying. It's pretty late. Don't see any of your other students here.
Mr. Hope, I'm so sorry about this.
Attractive woman. Separated, vulnerable.
All right, it's time to go.
What are you really after?
I just want her to realise her potential.
I think I know what's best for my wife, OK? So just back off.
Craig.
With a snort of derision at Elliot, Craig walks off. Barbara follows him out. Elliot looks a little overcome. Marie's at Jeff's bedside.
Wish Mum was still here. Just to get the satisfaction. I watched her die. The cancer eating her up. You never came. Not once. I was 15 years old. How could you do that? It's not that easy. I haven't finished yet.
Jeff's coughing up blood.
Help! Help me, someone!
Michael lights a candle on his son's third birthday cake, then connects a video call.
Hey, buddy. Happy birthday.
Hi, Daddy.
How are you?
I'm big tomorrow.
You look great.
Sorry, it's Mr. Rydell.
Perfect timing.
I wouldn't have interrupted unless it was urgent.
Well, look, you can't give me 5 minutes.
He might be dead in 5 minutes.
All right, fine. Hey, Charlie.
Yeah?
I just need to do something, okay? So just wait right there. Don't go anywhere. Okay.
Chantelle's reading an online article about a baby delivered while the mother was on life support.
Aren't you coming, Nurse Lane? I understand you were involved.
Coming where?
Mr. Griffin has called an emergency MDT meeting to decide the way forward.
I wasn't invited, Mr. Hampson.
That must be an oversight on his part. All those who were involved in the patient's care should attend the meeting. I'll see you in there.
Chantelle prints the article off. Elliot's at his desk as Jack comes in with two coffees.
Wow, you look like you're in need of some serious caffeine.
Oh, thank you, Jack.
Didn't go too well then. Your little marriage guidance session, I saw them leaving.
I wouldn't care so much if she wasn't such a good doctor. It's a terrible waste.
So what are you waiting for? Draw up a study schedule. Set weekly hours of one-to-one private tuition, which I know you'll enjoy, even if she doesn't. Within a couple of months, she'll be back on track. Simple. That's a therapy session over. Send me the check in the post.
Jack, as ever, you're a genius.
I know.
Elliot types Barbara Alcock personal study schedule. In theatre, Michael's operating on Jeff.
Come on. Damn, can't get control of this bleed.
His BP's dropping 90 over 60.
All right, there's one more thing we can try. Sangstockin tube insertion. Might buy him 24 hours so he can speak to his daughter.
I've seen one of those things for years.
Well, desperate times call for desperate measures. Can you take a hold of that, please? Let's page the anaesthetist. Let's get him intubated. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Maria's waiting outside as Michael emerges.
How is he?
We're doing everything we can.
If you stop drinking now, might give him another chance.
Listen, your father was offered that chance, a transplant. But he refused to stop drinking, so he's been taken off the list.
So he chose to die?
Well, it's not that simple. Alcoholism is a disease.
Do you have children?
Yeah, but,
At the center of your world?
Of course. Will you excuse me for a moment?
He heads back to his desk, but the computer screen's flashing call ended, no connection. Michael heaves a sigh of regret.
As Miss Swains just pointed out, keeping Mrs. Harp on life support would require the maintenance of a multidisciplinary team. It would be a huge drain on equipment and resources. I have to take that into consideration.
Sorry I'm late.
Chantal, welcome.
Come in, Nurse Lane. So, Mr. Griffin, your thoughts, please.
Sarah Harpen is my patient, and we are here to discuss her best interests. As you know, until a baby is delivered, it has no legal rights. Therefore, the debate whether to keep the mother alive as an incubator is an ethical rather than a legal one.
Mr. Thompson?
Well, at 25 weeks, we would normally deliver the baby as a matter of course. However, a fetus of this gestation, though viable, is statistically at a high risk of respiratory complication, mental retardation, even blindness.
Given the tragic circumstances of the mother's death, I understand that it's not unlikely to have been starved of oxygen.
The outcome is pretty bleak, yes.
Having said that, if there was no oxygen deprivation and we were able to keep the mother on life support for a reasonable period of time, then the baby would have a fighting chance.
My concern is that keeping Sarah alive gives her husband false hope, when we can offer him no guarantee of a reasonable, let alone good, outcome.
Now, there's no getting away from the fact that this baby is at significant risk of major disability.
You've seen it before, Rick. We all have. Now, we need to think very carefully whether it's right to prolong the father's distress like this when the baby's death or severe physical mental impairment is statistically the most likely consequence of our intervention.
Much as I'd like to, I can't argue with the statistics.
I believe we should let nature take its course. Allow this baby a gentle, comfortable death, and then Mr. Harpen can grieve for his terrible loss.
All right, does anyone have anything to add?
Yes, I do. I believe I got to know Sarah Harpen better than any of you. So if no one's going to stand up for what she would have wanted, I will. This baby was much longed for. With Sarah's medical history, almost a miracle, and we all witnessed her drive to protect her. Her initial refusal of MRI proved that with every decision, she put her baby first. Mr. Griffin, you said that if we were able to maintain Sarah on life support, then the baby might have a chance.
Sure, there'd be a chance, but as Miss Campbell has pointed out, extremely unlikely.
It's very unusual for anyone with brainstem death to be maintained for longer than 48 hours.
A time frame that will make no difference to the outcome for this baby.
I found these articles online, and some of the mothers were kept alive for 4 weeks or more, allowing the babies to develop almost to term.
These cases are extremely rare.
I understand that, but who's to say that Sarah can't be one of them?
It's a fair point.
What if the doctors had dismissed the potential of these babies like you're doing now?
Well, Mr. Griffin, your patient, you have the final say. Either way, you will have to obtain the husband's consent.
What a waste of a life.
Yeah, well, people often keep doing things that they shouldn't.
Yes, daughter, that's something to live for.
You know, all that girl wanted was an okay dad. She got stuck with him.
Okay, Tube's ready to go.
Chantelle emerges from Sarah's room in ITU. James is waiting in the corridor outside.
Decided to keep Sarah on life support to give your baby the best possible chance.
Taking this in, James walks off a few paces.
What if I say no?
They can't do anything without your consent.
She suffered enough. Look at her. I should just let her go. Bring this complete nightmare to an end.
But what about your baby?
I don't care about the baby.
She's still a part of Sarah.
She's the reason I lost her.
You can't think like that.
Can't I? What gives you the right to tell me what to think?
Nothing. Sorry.
Doesn't make any sense. She was fine this morning, and now...
Sarah said you had a name for the baby. Wanted to keep it a surprise.
Molly. It was always Molly.
Michael's on his mobile.
Hey, Annalise, I... Whoa, take it easy. Hey, listen. There was a guy dying. I work in a hospital. I'm a doctor. What else am I supposed to do? This is ridiculous. Just put Charlie on, all right? Oh, really? Or did you tell him that he doesn't want to talk to me? Look, Annalise, I said I'm sorry. No way.
It's just up there.
Because he is still my son, too, so...
You okay?
Yeah, never better.
You don't look it.
You want me to spill my guts to satisfy your curiosity? You're not the only person here who needs their privacy and respect him.
Is she okay?
So far, so good. Hey, I thought you were jolly brave in that meeting, you know. You certainly gave Miss Campbell a run for her money, didn't you?
Mr. Thompson?
Mr. Griffin, now, please.
I rang earlier about...
Mr. Griffin, there's a problem.
Placental eruption. Must have been caused by the same fall.
Why wasn't this picked up earlier?
It's small now, but it'd been virtually undetectable on the first scan, but it's getting bigger, you see? There and there. My concern is that the baby isn't being properly oxygenated.
Rick turns to look at Chantelle. Michael's walking upstairs when he discovers Maria standing alone in the stairwell.
Hey. It's not over yet.
You had the chance to live, right? Start again.
Yeah, in theory.
You didn't take it. So, now I know you never loved me. That's all I came here for.
Really not looking good, I'm afraid.
There must be something you can do, Mr. Griffin.
The placenta is peeling away from the uterus wall, causing severe bleeding. There is no surgical solution.
We are running out of time.
Rick lets James into the room.
Mr. Hartman. Your wife is suffering a placental abruption, which we cannot control. We have a stark choice to deliver the baby or not.
I'm afraid, if we're talking statistics, 66% of all babies born at 25 weeks don't survive to leave the hospital.
Which means 34% do.
Chantelle.
She's tachycardic. BP dropping, come on, Rick.
Mr. Harpin, you have a very difficult choice. Either we turn off the life support and let them both go, or we attempt to deliver the baby. Now, delivery does not guarantee survival. And even if the baby does survive, there may well be serious health implications. Do you understand?
If this baby's to stand any chance at all, we need to operate now.
Molly's already proved how tough she is to get this far. I know it's hard, but think really carefully. What would Sarah want you to do?
Great. Suction. Under pressure, please.
The surgeon reaches into the incision in Sarah's abdomen with both hands and draws the baby carefully out. Chantelle looks on from outside as the team work with silent urgency on the tiny, fragile infant. Rick catches her eye. Maria's standing at Jeff's bedside.
You see my jacket?
Eddie hands it to her.
Thanks.
It's hard to move on without closure.
I've got closure. Well, that's the point. I spent my whole life with this stupid fantasy that maybe you did love me. That you'd come back and make it all better. The man in that bed, he didn't know my dad. Not really, just worked and drank. That was his life. I wish I hated him. That would be easier, but I just feel nothing.
Made some wrong choices.
My choices have consequences. He made his. I've made mine.
In a corridor, James is sitting with Chantelle.
What about when it's over? It won't just...
won't do anything without you being there.
Mr. Harbin, your baby has something called respiratory distress syndrome. Her lungs are very underdeveloped, struggling to provide enough oxygen to the rest of the body.
But she's got a chance. You said it was the right thing.
She's very unwell. In the specialist's opinion, she may only have hours to live. I'm very sorry.
I should never have listened to you.
There's still a chance.
Don't say that. There isn't. Is there?
You need to see her now.
What? And watch her struggling for every last breath. I could have stopped her suffering. Leave me alone.
Chantelle goes to hurry after him.
Chantelle, you have to understand, we must never allow emotion to influence our professional judgment.
I had to do what I believed was right.
By pressuring him into making a decision he wouldn't otherwise have made.
You told me to stand up for myself, Mr. Griffin, to find my voice. I know Sarah would have wanted Molly to have a chance. And it's not over yet.
Chantelle enters the special care baby unit and approaches Molly's incubator. She rests her hands against the glass and stares down at the tiny, fragile infant surrounded by tubes and equipment. She pulls up a chair and sits down at the incubator, putting her face close to the glass, staring at her as if willing her to live.
I see you've got a bed ready for Mr. Riddell, so I'll take him up.
Any sign of his daughter?
You just can't let that bedside reconciliation scene go, can you, Michael?
Yeah, that's me. Hollywood ending all the way. I'll tell you what, I'll get you breakfast when you come back.
No, thanks. I'm going to go home.
Lucky you. Sasha's called in sick, so I got to wait for cover.
Good luck. And what?
On call all week. Probably the weekend.
Go home, Michael.
I just told you.
No. I mean, go home, home. Just replace liver failure with stress-induced heart attack, and that could be you. And for what? I mean, what's the point if no one cares if you live or you die?
Chantelle's still sitting at the incubator, her head resting on her hand and her eyes now closed. She sits up, staring closely at Molly. She moves aside, and the incubator is now surrounded by a medical team, and Chantelle looks on, sad and helpless. Daytime, and Elliot passes a nurse walking the other way as he strides down a corridor reading a file.
Morning.
He runs into Barbara waiting for him.
I hope you don't mind. I didn't know where else to go.
It's good to see you. Come in, come in. It's obviously complicated.
Well, I'm just trying to better myself, you know? Make the most of whatever talents my mother believed I had. What if Craig's right? What if I am living my mother's dream and not mine?
You don't sound very sure.
I messed up, Mr. Hope. What's to say it's not going to happen again? You know, Craig's doing well now. I'll be taken care of. No stress, no pressure. What's wrong with that?
Nothing, if that's what you want. But I'm not convinced that it is.
What's this?
It's a study schedule that I am prepared to commit to, if you are. Together, we could get you back on track within a few weeks. I believe in your talent, just as your mother did. But you have a duty to serve that talent, not throw it away.
Taking the sheet from him, she kisses him softly on the cheek and walks out. Elliot looks pleased with himself. James is sitting at Sarah's bedside, clutching her hand. Emotional and close to tears, he bends down and kisses it. He looks up to find Rick standing close by. His expression somber, Rick walks up to a control panel at the head of the bed and throws the switch. The monitor screen goes blank. James remains, clutching her hand, staring at her face. Later, as he steps outside the corridor, Chantel approaches.
James, please.
I asked you to leave me alone.
It's the baby.
Chantel leads James into the special care baby unit. A doctor's standing at the incubator.
I got myself a very special young lady here, you know. It was a bit touch and go at first, but breathing's much better. The ventilator's doing less of the work now. Looks like she's in for the long haul.
Thank you so much.
So, here she is. Molly, meet Daddy. Daddy, meet Molly.
She's so tiny.
You can touch her hand if you like.
I'm not sure.
She's tougher than she looks.
Sarah always knew this day would come. She refused to give up hope.
All I'm saying is that the decision to let nature take its course was the correct one statistically.
Yeah, perhaps, but what about morally? Shouldn't medicine be about more than numbers?
Yes, but if we rely on fact, not emotion, then we are, statistically, more likely to achieve the best outcome for our patients.
And what about hope against the odds? Without that, Molly didn't stand a chance.
Molly is a statistical anomaly. You just made a very lucky call.
Actually, I think she owes you an apology. As do I.
There's really no need.
I may not agree with everything that you did, but I gave you a challenge, and you more than rose to it.
Thanks, Mr. Griffin.
In the lift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Just the one seat.
No, it's okay. I will pick it up at the airport.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand.
Mr. Hope? I'll see you at 3 o'clock for complications of aortic stenosis.
Excellent. Look forward to it. Actually, it's Professor Hope now.
Oh, you sure you're not too grand to teach me now?
Absolutely.
Congratulations, Professor.
Thank you.
James is sitting at the incubator, holding Sarah's heart-shaped pendant. Chantel's walking past in the corridor outside and pauses to look through the glass. She watches as James gets to his feet and gently places the pendant on top of the incubator. Chantelle smiles to herself, then walks off.